Thanks for joining us at The Zealous Disposition, where positive positions on life are shared through dialogue, stories, and other experiences. And now your host, Mr. Zach D.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Zealous Disposition Podcast. Today's topic centers around diamonds. I will share how diamonds are made, some of the uses for diamonds, and then wrap it up with some of my thoughts. Now, have you ever thought about how diamonds are made and where they come from? Maybe you have, or maybe you haven't. I bet some of the women out there are like, I don't care how they're made. The only thing that matters is how good it looks on my finger. Personally, the thought has crossed my mind on numerous occasions. How could it not? Turn on the radio and chances are that one of the songs you listen to will contain something associated with a diamond. The artist may mention something about carats, shine, or even a term that we have grown to love, bling. We can even find references in a movie or a TV show we watch, or even in the latest app filter that makes everything all sparkle, like that of the gem that easily draws attention. As you see, we get bombarded with the bling in many aspects of our lives. From the entertainment industry, as just mentioned, from the soon-to-be brides with their happy engagement rings, and even the construction industry. Yep, the construction industry uses diamonds. Not sure if you knew that, but we'll briefly touch that a little bit later. Hopefully your interest has piqued to learn more about where and how the rock is made that creates the sparkle and shine that many desire to have. So with that, let's break down the diamond. What are diamonds made of? Some think diamonds are made of coal. This is close, but doesn't really hit the mark. You have to break it down further. Coal and diamonds share the same element, and that element is carbon. Carbon can be found in graphite, which is used in pencils. And as just mentioned, coal, for the purpose of charcoal, which we use for fire. But charcoal has other uses and can even be used for filtration. Activated charcoal can be used in respirators to help filter out the air for working in hazardous locations. But let's get back to the carbon, let's get back to carbon so we can move on to the diamond. Besides graphite and coal, carbon is even used to make carbon fiber. You know, the stuff like fishing poles are made out of, boats, prosthetics, and even souped-up exotic sports cars. Now, carbon is multifaceted, unique, and strong. What gives us these qualities is the ability to form bonded chains. Without going into deep details, this allows atoms to bond or join together, which they can continue to build upon each other. This bond, however, doesn't just happen on its own. There are external factors that come into play. And this leads us to the diamond, or should I say, and this leads us to how diamonds are formed. How are diamonds formed? Well, we just established that external factors are needed to aid in the bonding of atoms so carbon can become a diamond. And for the purpose of this episode, we'll stick to three ways these factors are met. The first way involves the Earth's mantle. Now, according to geologists, they believe diamonds are formed in the Earth's mantle. Whether you believe in the globe theory or the flat Earth theory, the mantle is considered to be the next layer under the Earth's outer layer, the crust. The crust is the layer that we live on. So, deep under the Earth's crust and the mantle, the temperature is believed to reach about 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And this is just a little bit hotter than Texas. The pressure there is also believed to reach approximately 725,000 pounds per square inch. That's like having an ice cube weighing as much as 250 cars. It's a pretty heavy ice cube. These extreme temperatures and pressure are prime conditions for the bonding process to take place. The carbon then grows and grows over an extended period of time, most likely like thousands of years, until it is removed and pushed to the Earth's surface. The diamonds are pushed to the surface by deep source volcanic eruptions. The conditions aren't as harsh as the condition that formed the diamonds, but as you can see by what's going on in Hawaii right now, volcanic eruptions are nothing to play with. But the diamonds are able to survive the ride to the surface, so everything is okay with the diamond. Then mining companies excavate these sites and remove the diamonds for the consumers to use, the consumers being us. Another way diamonds are formed is by a violent impact, such as an impact created from an asteroid hitting the Earth's surface. It's reported and believed that throughout the history of the Earth, large asteroids hit the Earth repeatedly, causing large craters. The enormous size of an asteroid, coupled with its traveling speed, resulted in another prime condition when colliding with the Earth's surface, especially if the impact area contains a decent amount of carbon. Diamonds formed like this are considered rare, but this is considered to be another way diamonds are formed. And as mentioned earlier, and sticking to the three ways, the third way diamonds are formed is being formed by synthetic process. The credit for the first synthetic diamond made goes to General Electric in 1954. The General Electric Laboratory used a process dubbed high pressure, high temperature. That kind of sounds familiar, right? It should. The high pressure, high temperature process was designed to mirror the natural process mentioned earlier. Currently, another process is used called chemical vapor deposition, or CVD for short. Now, in CVD, a thin sample is cut from an existing unpolished diamond and placed into a special piece of equipment. This equipment is designed to withstand high pressure and high temperature. Sounds familiar again, right? That's the key to making a diamond. The thinly sliced sample can be referred to as a seed. In the equipment, the seed is placed under extreme pressure and heated in plasma to, and I give air quotes here, grow the diamond. This process takes about 28 days or so to complete. Once completed, the lab growing the diamond yields a hexagonal shaped rock. Yep, that's right, hexagonal shaped. But don't get too caught up on how many sides the rock has in its natural form. The point is, it doesn't emerge in the shape that we would expect it to. To get the diamond in the many shapes that create the bling associated with the gem, you know these shapes, the round, square cut, princess cut, heart, oval, pear, and so on and so on. To get them in these shapes, other diamonds are used to sand, or should I say, to polish the newly grown diamond into shape. Now, there's a long process in creating the diamond to be presented as a gem. Without the long process, many people wouldn't be able to tell this rock was a diamond. This is where we get the term a diamond in the rough. A diamond in its natural form doesn't look anything like a diamond for jewelry. I mentioned that other diamonds are used to shape a diamond into a gem, so let's turn our attention now to the uses of a diamond. And I ask that you continue to bear with me a little bit as we get to the point. We'll hit the point of this episode real soon. So diamonds have another use than making our, or should I say diamonds have other uses than making our ear, neck, wrist, or finger shine with bling. Considered as the hardest material, the diamond has been used in many aspects of grinding, polishing, drilling, and cutting. I'm sure you all have heard of like diamond-coated drill bits, diamond-coated files, or even diamond-coated saw blades. If you haven't done so, the next trip to the Lowe's or Home Depot, you'll probably be able to notice that. But this diamond coating help extends the life of the tool. For example, when you're driving down a highway and the construction has traffic backed up because they're extending lanes and fixing the damage to the older ones, you might see someone using a large circular saw to cut the concrete. That large saw is diamond coated. It's able to cut as good as it can because of the coating made of diamonds. And chances are that nice granite countertop that you want, or that you may have, was cut, sanded, and polished with diamond-coated tools. Now, let's get to our main point. Pretty simple, straight to the point information. And now we know more about diamonds. But what's the main point, and how does this apply to our lives? Life, as many of us may know, is not all roses and butterflies. Most of us will experience some type of hardship. In fact, we may experience multiple hardships. But there is one hardship that may make the other seem like an easy walk in the park. That's the one that's forming you, or forming us, into a diamond. That one big event in your life will put extreme pressure on you. Pressure crushing down from all angles, making you feel like there's no way out and you can't win. This is similar to the natural forming process in the Earth's mantle. You're becoming a diamond. You're not a diamond yet, but you're becoming a diamond. The whole process isn't over yet. You still have to go through the other stages. Now, the big event took place. That event formed you, and now you're done. And you think you're good to go, but the world around you starts to shake. You don't know what's going on, and you're afraid that this is another big life-changing event. And it is. You're now caught in a volcanic eruption. It's dark, hot, and you don't have control of how fast you're moving or where you're going. It's uncomfortable, but not as bad as a major event that formed you. Then that last violent shake happens, and you're spat out into the world with no explanation of what just happened. Time passes, and people come and go, passing you up as you lay there because they don't recognize that you're a diamond in the rough. You look battered, dull, scraped, like a piece of weathered glass. You're wondering, what did you do to deserve this? Why did this happen to you? What and why doesn't matter right now. What matters is that you keep living your life to the best of your ability and do what you can, even if that means waiting patiently. It might suck, but the process is not done yet. Eventually, someone will recognize what you are, lift you up, and prepare you for the next stage. You'll be put in situations that are uncomfortable. You'll be handed to one person, and there will be a lot of noise. Handed to the next, and a lot of shaking. Handed off again, and a lot of vibration. Again, you'll start to think you're useless and unwanted. But throughout the process, you'll notice that you feel stronger because this stage was nothing like the first two stages. Without knowing, you just went through the sanding, polishing, and shaping process. Afterwards, you'll experience something unfamiliar. People will start to look at you differently. They have a sparkle in their eye as they look at you. They seem to value your time, your words, your effort. You'll wonder what's going on, and that's when you'll put everything together and you'll realize what happened. And to put everything all together, to sum up what just happened, we'll end with this. First, you were carbon in a harsh environment, transformed, and then spat out of the earth as a diamond in the rough. The last stage is the people you'll meet and the events in your life that will sand you, polish you, and shape you. That sparkle you see in their eye is your reflection. That sparkle is you. You're a diamond. And in closing, remember, hardships won't stop, but you can handle it now. Keep shining and keep that bling forever bright. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, whatever it may be, feel free to email us at zealousdisposition@gmail.com. You can visit us at Facebook and on Instagram as well. And as always, remember, as iron sharpens iron, so one man another. Sharpen yourself and sharpen those around you.